translated by whole verse found in the front of your...
Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
Came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy.
they did not know what to say to him. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Returning to the disciples the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and elders of the people. Judas was leading them. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas approached Jesus to kiss him and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" One of Jesus' companions, Simon Peter, reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. "No more of this. Put your sword back into its sheath," Jesus said to him. "For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Do you think I cannot call on my Father? He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? And he touched the man's ear and healed him. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We chant the Lenten Responsory found on page 231.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me.
Thank you. the name of Jesus, the suffering servant. Amen. Tonight, we continue our time in the Garden of Eden. To behold your cross anew, O Lord, we consider your sufferings in the garden. You can still actually visit the Garden of Gethsemane today. There's a church there called the Church of All Nations. Ancient olive trees in this garden. They've put the altar over the rock where they think Christ prayed. But that area there of the Garden of Gethsemane, on the other side of the Kidron Valley in Jerusalem, was where this event happened. This great mystery that Jesus is true God with all power in heaven and on earth, but as true man in anguish, as he's facing his suffering, we can only stand with silent, sad awe and see our Lord Jesus there in the garden in anguish for us. We first consider the Garden of Gethsemane, the people that were there and the significance of it, and then what it means that we tonight behold your cross and your suffering anew. In the Garden of Gethsemane came Jesus of Nazareth. That's how he was called, raised in Nazareth. Three times he prayed in anguish because of the cup of suffering that he must drink. Is there any other way, Father? But not my will, but yours be done. He knew the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into hands of sinners, and he was without sin. He was holy and without blemish. The reason he is in anguish is because he knows he's not only facing physical suffering, but spiritual suffering. The sins of the world to be placed upon him. He was going to become sin for us, and the Father was going to withhold his presence from his Son. Jesus was going to experience hell, separation from God on the cross. He is in such anguish that the capillaries in his face and body are bursting, and the blood is coming through his glands and through his face and is dripping on the ground like drops of blood and sweat because of his anguish. This is a man who knows what it means to suffer, not for himself, but for us. Now, God foretold it would happen this way, but these people are still responsible for their actions. The soldiers who come, the officials, the chief priests, the Pharisees, they didn't have to come with swords and clubs as if Jesus was an ordinary criminal, but they did. They treated Jesus, the innocent one, as if he was some guilty criminal. And of course, they knew he was not, but they wanted to destroy him. And so they come up to Jesus, and Jesus, knowing what's about to happen, asks a simple question. Who do you want? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And when Jesus says, I am he, they hit the dirt. They fall to the ground. Why is this? The Gospel of John goes to great lengths to teach us that Jesus is the great I am. The I am who I am, Yahweh, who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. Jesus is that I am. Moses got down on the ground in the presence of the great I am. And even though they're about to take Jesus to his crucifixion, for a moment we see a glimpse of his deity. I am he. And they all fall to the ground, as is fitting in the presence of God in human flesh. Jesus says a second time, I am he, let these men go. You have no reason for these men, his disciples, to be captured. Fulfilling the scriptures that say, I will lose none of those whom you gave me. And then comes Judas, one of the 12, Iscariot, meaning a man from Kerioth. He comes and greets Jesus, greetings, Rabbi, and gives him a kiss. And part of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ is I think he would have preferred Judas just to slap him in the face. But to come up to Judas, come up to Jesus, to give him a kiss as if he is his friend, you can see the hurt in Jesus' phrase. You betray the Son of Man with a kiss? This is like getting stabbed in the back. And Judas, acting like he cared for Jesus as the rabbi, does not care. He had planned to betray Jesus for pieces of silver. So Jesus gives him one last chance. Friend, do what you have come to do. And so then the whole procedure begins. They're getting ropes to bind Jesus. Simon Peter wants to take matters into his own hands. The soldiers see that the disciples were armed. Simon has a sword. He pulls it out and he cuts off the right ear of the servant Malchus. And Jesus, knowing this is not the time for swords, tells them to put his sword away. They that take the sword will die by the sword. And in one act of complete mercy, touches the servant's ear and heals it. And he explained, I must drink the cup that the Father has given me, Peter. Don't you know there's 12 legions, which would be like 25,000 legions of angels at my disposal, who could wipe all these people out if I wanted to, Peter? But no, I must drink the cup my Father has given me. And he's referring to all the events of Holy Week, from Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter. And I encourage you during the Lenten season to read Isaiah chapter 53, Psalm chapter 22. Fleshes out all of the scriptures that must be fulfilled. He must drink the bitter cup that we should drink. He will drink it to the very dregs in his suffering, his death, and his crucifixion in our place. This is what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus suffering for us. What does that mean for you and me, as we just sang in this hymn, to behold your cross anew? Jesus, refuge of the weary, he is your refuge. He's the blessed Redeemer whom we love. He is your Redeemer now. Fountain in life's desert dreary, we need the fountain of the water of Christ in this dry and dusty world. A Savior from the world above, he is your Savior who came from heaven to earth. You couldn't save yourself. He came from outside of the world into the world to save us. Even though because of our sins we have offended, and even though he has gazed upon our fall, our sinner's fall, we see, as we sang, upon the cross extended his arms, you have borne the pain of all. Our Lord Jesus Christ bore the pain of hell that we deserved. And through his death, God has said, I will not forsake you, my children, because your punishment and the pain you deserve was placed upon my Son in your place. Jesus, may our hearts be burning. Your heart should be burning for love for our Lord Jesus Christ, a fervent love for him above all the loves of this world, and turning our eyes to behold your cross anew. Every time we see a cross or a crucifix, or we wear a cross, we are beholding what he did on the cross anew. And your time on earth, we will soon be parted from those whom we love here on earth to go to be with the blessed Savior at his side, we sang. But the impression that should be graven in our hearts forever is the image of the cross, the crucified. You see, we are theologians of the cross. Our life is a cruciform life. It takes the shape of the cross. The proof that we are Christians is that we carry a cross and that we suffer for Christ and the gospel. The proof of a Christian is not earthly prosperity and health and wealth. No, the proof of a Christian is carrying a cross, gladly carrying a cross, suffering for Christ. First comes the suffering, before comes the glory. So my friends, as we're getting closer and closer to Holy Week, ponder tonight as you go home again the events that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, which happened on Maundy Thursday. After he had instituted the Lord's Supper, they went out to this garden after singing a hymn, and these events happened. To behold your cross anew, O Lord, may we have silent and sad awe, profoundly meditating on the anguish of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose sweat for us was like drops of blood. And in the midst of the meditation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there can only be silence. Amen.
We stand to sing the canticle, then on page 231.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense,
and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has regarded the
thank you.
page 233, please stand.
Spirit be with us all. Lord.